Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning, diarrhea!
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports. On 95.7, The Game.
Come on!
Yes, sir. Good morning, family. Stephen Lankford on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game, leading you up until 6 o'clock for the morning roast with Kate Scott, Joe the Butcher Boy Shasky, and Bonte Hill. Today, we got a lot. We got a lot coming up. So it is a Thursday, which means it is Mic'd Up Thursdays. That'll be at 5:35 today. This is actually a really fun one. We don't have anyone from the 49ers or the Raiders involved with this one, but we got Kirk Cousins from the Vikings, who is a little more reserved than I've seen him in years past whenever he's mic'd up. We got Mike Vrabel, Tennessee head coach. We got Hayden Hurst, who's the young tight end for the Falcons, who is the most entertaining to me. We have all the pregame pump-ups, which always get me going. And I think it makes you realize that it doesn't matter what team you're playing. We as fans, we always say, oh, that's a meaningless game. This is a look-ahead game for them. They're probably going to come out a little more relaxed. But then when you hear these pregame pump-ups, you'll find that I don't know if they're going out there relaxed against this team. I think we're just overanalyzing it. So we'll get to that. What's going on with the Houston Rockets? The Rockets are internally combusting right now as Russell Westbrook wants out, even though he has 3 years left on his deal and is going to get paid $44 million a year for that deal. So we'll get to the details of that. You're going to hear from Nick Mullins and Andrew Bogut, who were on the station yesterday. We got just an absolutely packed out pregame show hour for you. But I did want to start out with this. Kevin Gausman, he accepted the qualifying offer, which he should have, and he got about $18 million out of it for the year, and he will be on the Giants next season. And here is my situation with Gausman. I thought when he was with the Orioles, back when Ubaldo Jimenez was traded from the Rockies and he went to the Orioles, Kevin Gausman was a guy who was starting behind him, and I thought he was... Yeah, this was before we had the wave of pitchers who would be just jacking up 96 mile an hour fastballs with ease. This was before that wave started. Kevin Gausman was the starting pitcher over there, and he was topping out at 97, 98 miles an hour with consistency. And he was also doing it with a breaking ball, too. I was wondering who this guy was. And a little later on, when you're in sports and, you know, you're watching the next seasons, you're wondering, where did that guy go? And then it turns out that he dropped off a little bit, maybe lost some of the command on his fastball and his splitter, whatever it was. But what intrigued me about Gausman coming to the Giants in the first place was, not only did I see this guy dominate in a couple of starts when he first came up with the Orioles, not only had I seen that, but then there were numbers which went toward him and the start of this new pitch that he had. And it's this split change. And if you ever watch any of the Giants broadcasts, you'll hear them rave about it. Kruko loves that pitch. And you'll hear different guys call it different things. I mean, you could call it a split changeup. You could just call it a straight splitter. Whatever. But either way, it's a pitch with movement. And it's downward movement. He improved that pitch the season before he came to the Giants in the last half. And the numbers were pointing towards his strikeout percentage was way up, his strikeout rate, and also his ERA was down. So I was fascinated to see what would happen when he came to the Giants. And honestly, he was a pleasant surprise. He was someone who, you know, at 29 years old, didn't expect him to do a whole ton. But I thought Kevin Gausman last year was terrific. I mean, he had 12 games. He was 3-3. He had a 3.62 ERA, which isn't the greatest ERA in the world, but he had the highest strikeouts per nine on the Giants, and he also was in the top 10 in strikeouts per nine throughout the season. I think it was striking out between 12 and 13 guys per nine innings, which is a very, very good number. So I think that this signing is good for the Giants. And I think it's a way to, it's not like they're going to sign him to a long-term deal afterward, but I do think that it is a good way in this next season to kind of get a glimpse as to how the Giants develop their pitchers and they work with their pitchers and the type of guys that they're going to have moving forward, because I think he's the prototypical type of guy that Farhan wants, a guy who throws hard but who also can throw hard with a little bit of movement. I personally like it, and of course, why wouldn't you accept that qualifying offer? It's $18 million. I think Gausman's really thrilled, and I'm excited to see him. I'm excited to see him thrive, hopefully, in this next season with the Giants. And he's a fun pitcher to watch. I personally really enjoy watching whenever, because there's nothing better than watching a pitcher who you know which pitch is going to be coming. You know when it's two strikes, you know that split change is going to be coming, and you watch it and there's nothing that the hitters can do about it. You saw that a lot last season, so you're going to be seeing that a lot going forward in 2021. To move on a little bit, the Cy Young Award winners were announced yesterday, and one guy who is the first Red in history to win the Cy Young, which is pretty surprising, but Trevor Bauer and Shane Bieber of the Cleveland Indians, they both won the Cy Young for their respective leagues. And Shane Bieber was just lights out this year. He was the best pitcher in baseball. But then come playoff time, you saw what happened against the Yankees. That was the weirdest situation, I think, in playoffs for me personally. Because I was watching Yankees-Indians game one, and I figured, you know, I'll watch the pregame, I'll watch Fast Scursion, I'll watch Alex Rodriguez say what they have to say. They're looking forward to the matchup, and it's getting me kind of pumped up. But when the game started, I had to go to the restroom. So I'm like, you know what, I can miss out on a couple of pitches. I'll watch the first pitch, but then, you know what, I'll go to the restroom, I'll come back, it'll be fine, it's Shane Bieber, I can miss a couple of pitches. Then four pitches later, when I come back, I already see there's a run on the board. I'm like, what happened? Shane Bieber's pitching. How has this already happened? Four pitches in and they already scored a run? Got two hits out of it? But anyway, that's beside the point. Congratulations to Shane Bieber. Unanimous, by the way, for the American League. But in the National League, you have Trevor Bauer. And Trevor Bauer is a guy who is linked to the Giants. And I'm telling you, if the Giants can manage to sign Trevor Bauer to a long-term deal, that is an indicator that the Giants are moving way toward the analytics side of things. And I think Trevor Bauer is just, it's not like he's just a pitcher, okay? Now, I go back always to Charlie Morton from the Tampa Bay Rays and what he's able to teach those young guys. The type of presence that he has, it's something that's very intangible, and you don't see it all the time, but you hear the players talk about it. You hear Blake Snell, you hear Tyler Glasnow talk about how helpful Charlie Morton is whenever they get into the playoffs. I think Trevor Bauer, if the Giants do sign him, And he's the NL Cy Young Award winner. So he's going to be need to be paid a pretty penny. But I think that one thing that he brings is the fact that he understands work ethic. The reason that Trevor Bauer has become so successful, he's not the most athletic guy. He wasn't the most athletic guy in college when he was pitching over at UCLA. But then he came into the league and he was willing to work and accept these new teaching methods. And I think that when he comes to the Giants, or if he comes to the Giants and he signs a long-term deal, he will take that role of being the kind of leader. He wasn't always that guy, because when he was younger, along with when he started out with Cleveland and then also when he went to Cincinnati, there was always some brush-ups with players and coaches, never really seeing, sometimes not really seeing eye to eye, just, you know, based on his tactics and how he does things. He likes to be a little bit out of the box when it comes to working before a game and doing all that sort of stuff. But I think now he's in that veteran mode where he feels like he can help solidify a starting rotation and be that ace and be that guy. He had to build his way into being the ace for that Reds team because Luis Castillo had already taken that mantle in Cincinnati. But if he comes to the Giants and he's that number one guy, that ace, then I think he'll take it upon himself to become that just veteran teaching presence. And I think that he is one of the best in baseball at doing so. And he's obsessed with the science and the mechanics. Look, Trevor Bauer is just my favorite pitcher. So I'm always going to approach that every single time if there's an opportunity where they can sign him. Obviously, there are other teams that are in contention, but the Giants are one of them. And I would be very excited if they manage to actually sign him to a deal. 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line and the phone number. That'll conclude the baseball talk for today. I just wanted to get that out of the way. However, we do have a lot to discuss because the draft is 6 days away. And I got to say that I am getting more and more excited day by day as the draft comes along. And when you hear these draft analysts come on the station and not even just draft analysts, guys who have worked with NBA players for years, whether it's Mark Spears or guy from ESPN and Mike Schmitz, who was on yesterday, draft analyst, and you hear them talk about these guys and the way that they fit in with the Warriors, it makes me more and more excited each time because it seems like every single player is on their radar. But Mike Schmitz brought something very interesting up that not a lot of people are focusing on, considering we're always infatuated with the top five pick in the NBA draft. But there is one guy yesterday who was on the station who said that there could be some intrigue actually trading down even below the top 10. So you're going to hear why next. 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line and the phone number. Where are you at with the Warriors and where they're going to draft and what they need to do with that draft pick? Where are you at with that? Plus, we also got a couple of other teams that seem to be suitors that want to trade down with the Warriors. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
From the 510 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 888-957-9570. These are some of the best. Langford, you LeVar Ball cheerleading fanboy. The Dubs aren't interested in the LaMelo Ball and not taking him. It's Wiseman or Edwards. Only. I haven't talked about LaMelo Ball at all. Although, you know, that would be, I think, watching it. Now, let's just say it does happen, because you can guarantee that LeVar would be complaining that LaMelo's not getting the start over Steph Curry or Klay Thompson, and he'd be saying that they'd obviously be winning. Like, let's just say there's just one loss that happens after like a five-game win streak, and he says, "Well, if you started LaMelo Ball, you'd be winning by more. If you started my son LaMelo, then Steve Kerr would just absolutely shut him down." That would be very interesting. That really would be. It'd be something to pay. That'd be something to pay attention to. Before I get to this sound and these three teams who are reportedly interested in trading up for that number two pick, and the Warriors would be interested in trading down with these guys. But we'll get to those teams. Just in case you are a golf fan and you're just waking up and you're getting into your car, the Masters, due to inclement weather, has been postponed at the moment. It's not postponed for a few hours. It's not postponed till tomorrow, not anything like that. But they're saying for the next few hours. So stay tuned. We'll see. They played about a hole, and then obviously they started it later than normal. You don't normally see a Masters at Augusta in November. But due to inclement weather, they have postponed it for the next few hours. They were very vague in what they said. But 2020 continues to strike. So the three teams that are interested in trading up with the Warriors with the number four pick, who are interested in trading up at number two, are the Chicago Bulls. That's one we've been talking about. That's one that I have said that if the Warriors want to move back to number four and they just so happen to get Wendell Carter Jr. and trade away Kevon Looney in the process along with that number two pick. And then with that number four pick, you can either grab a Tyrese Halliburton out of Iowa State or a Denny Avija out of Israel to maybe create some depth on the bench. I think that could be something. At number four, you have, let's just say, at four, you have Wendell Carter Jr. You pick up Tyrese Halliburton, and then with that trade exception, that $17 million trade exception, which it's looking more and more likely that they're going to have to use, then they could pick up Danilo Gallinari possibly with that money, who is willing to take less than what he's already been paid. He just wants to win a championship, and he's making $21 million at the current moment. That could be something. There's a lot of scenarios with the Bulls that I find intriguing with Wendell Carter Jr., who is a center and would fill that need that the Warriors want. But the other two teams are the Detroit Pistons and the New York Knicks. Now, I'm not sure who the Warriors would want to trade down in that scenario. I know obviously, Andre Drummond is no longer there, so that's not going to be an option, just in case you forgot that he is a Cav. So that's no longer the option. But I wonder, it would be intriguing, I think, with the Pistons. And with, I mean, they got a few players here and there, but I don't know. I think you'd have to give up less if you were to trade down in order to get that number seven pick. I mean, it could just be you wouldn't have to trade a Kevon Looney in there. And then with the number eight pick, the team that's also in talks to for the Warriors to trade down with is the New York Knicks. And that's also one where you could trade down in that scenario and possibly pick up a guy, if he's not taken yet, like Obi Toppin or Onyeka Okongwu. But I will say that, I mean, what the Knicks have right now is just a bunch of power forwards. So if you are going to be getting a player, you could be guaranteed to be getting a strong power forward that could provide some depth for your bench and possibly even come in as a starting center if you need it. I'm always thinking that each time as I'm going about this, and I'm hearing more and more all these different guys talk about, you know, James Wiseman, the more and more that I want the Warriors to draft James Wiseman. I know he's young. I know he had limited time over in Memphis. But Penny Hardaway, who was the head coach over there, he was giving raving reviews for this guy. And who knows about a starting center, a rookie coming into the league. who is NBA ready, who would know more about that than Penny Hardaway, a la Shaq with the Magic. And he says that Wiseman is NBA ready. And Mike Schmitz, who was on with Steiny Guru in Dibs, he talked about James Wiseman's fits with the Warriors. But you're going to have to hear what Mark Spears had to say on the morning roast yesterday. But listen to Mike Schmitz first talking about James Wiseman's fit. He's a draft analyst for ESPN.
I think he can help you as a lob catcher, a finisher, a rim protector, you know, an athletic presence, something that, you know, they haven't had just in terms of a guy who can move like that at almost 7'1". Now, I think you also have to give him some time because he only played the three games at Memphis. His high school career was a little bit up and down, kind of in the motor department, and it's going to have been over a year since he played his last competitive game by the time he steps foot on an NBA court. So I think you're going to have to live through some of the growing pains with him, but I do think he can help you as a finisher, a shot blocker, and kind of give them an infusion of athleticism that they've needed.
And Mark Spears was on the morning roast yesterday, senior writer for The Undefeated, friend of the program, friend of the station. He just talked about how James Wiseman got a bad deal with Memphis.
I do think you got to also think about the situation he was in with Memphis, where every game he didn't know if it was his last game. That's a lot to put on somebody 18, man. What the NCAA did to him was criminal. Did not let that kid play. It was criminal to him. It was criminal to Memphis. And it ended up being stupid for them because they could have been the NCAA champ. Like, what they were crying about was peanuts. I felt bad for him. And I could, you know, not that I've been around him a ton, but I think I've been around him enough where you could see it in his face, man. Had to be very, very stressful. So even in that small body of work, I don't think you could have seen the best of him because where was he at mentally at that time?
And We do have to give that a little bit of notice, is that he was 18 years old at the time going through all of this, and he handled it in a mature manner. And then Mark Spears, he kind of built on that, saying, you know, he interviewed this guy, and it was the most impressive interview that he had at the Hoop Summit.
Of all the people I've interviewed in the years that I've been going to the Hoop Summit, he's the most impressive interview I had. Sharp. I could see him being a mayor of Memphis one day. He also speaks Mandarin, which whatever athlete goes into San Francisco speaking Mandarin is going to be godsend locally. To me, he's just tailor-made for what the Warriors need. Great, smart, bright kid. And I think that him going to Memphis and what went wrong there, like, probably gave him some unfair scarlet letter. But I think he's, of all the prospects, he's by far the most ready to play and best fit for the Warriors.
That's what's interesting with that one, because Bob Myers, who's going to be making this pick, he has been on this station multiple times saying, and you've heard other GMs talk about this to NBA insiders. They are saying that this is the weirdest draft ever because they're going into it with the least amount of information on these players as they've ever had before, because they're not able to meet face to face with them. They're not able to work out with them. It's very limited. And you hear a guy like Mark Spears, who talked to him beforehand and has mentioned him over and over. And when he says something like that, that he interviewed this guy, interviews matter. So there's very few occasions where there's one that just a terrible interview, doesn't seem like he's ready to play basketball, and then he comes out and he balls out. You know, there are examples of that. But when you hear this sort of stuff from a guy like Mark Spears, who has talked to him on numerous occasions before the pandemic, and listening to this next one and what he had to say and this comparison that he made, to be honest, I was sold.
I've been going to Hoop Summit for 10 years. I've talked to Anthony Davis, a young Anthony Davis, a young Harrison Barnes. You guys know how great a person Harrison Barnes is. I've talked to all these guys over the last 10 years. There's been not one player that I've interviewed over the last 10 years that I walked away after I interviewed him with a wow factor as much as I have with this kid. Take away basketball. He's a phenomenal person. Really bright. Like, gets it. Like, somebody that will be in the community I think he's somebody, the way we see Steph off the court, I think he's the same. And that is saying a lot. To me, like, that's what makes Steph Curry legendary to me, is not only is he a phenomenal basketball player, he's a phenomenal person that cares about the world. I see this kid in the same way, and he also just happens to be 7'1", and can dunk everything you throw up, and can block shots, and can get rebounds, and has the ability to get nastier, and get better. Like, his sky is super high.
So, I mean, when you hear that sort of stuff from a guy like Mark Spears, a senior writer for the undefeated of ESPN, that's the type of thing that sells you. From the 925, this is interesting, from the 888-957-9570, James Harden is going to the Nets to create possibly one of the greatest teams ever. So what we saw yesterday get reported about the Rockets is that Russell Westbrook wants out. And if you read the report, shout out to Shams Charania and Sam Amick, they worked on this report together, and Kelly Eco as well. They worked on this report, and a big part of it, the reason that he wants out is because, well, for one, Daryl Morey and Mike D'Antoni not going to be there anymore. Two, he feels like there's a lack of accountability with the team, and he just, I don't know, I guess he doesn't feel like it's suited for him. He wants to be the ball dominant player, and he wants to have a culture like he had with OKC, but he's got 3 years left. He's got $44 million a year on that deal. I don't know who would want to take that, but there were other players who showed that they were frustrated with the Rockets as well, one of them not being James Harden. James Harden is locked in for next season. But there are two guys who I looked at and I said, that could be interesting. That could be something to pay attention to. One was Eric Gordon, and one was P.J. Tucker. P.J. Tucker is on the fourth year of his deal. He's expressed frustration before, and Eric Gordon has expressed frustration with the team because he doesn't have that solidified role. He doesn't care whether he's a starter or whether he's a role player on the bench. They just want him to he just wants that notification that, look, this is where I'm at on the team. This is my role, and I know what I'm going to do. It seems like it was pretty sporadic with him. So P.J. Tucker has just under $8 million left on his deal, on his four-year deal. He's on the fourth year. And Eric Gordon right now, he's set to make $16, $18, $19, and $20 million up until 2023. So those were two names that I saw, but P.J. Tucker striked me as an interesting one. I think that he would be a great fit for the Warriors, and they could somehow pay that $7 million or under $8 million for this guy going forward in a trade. And that's something that I think could stir some intrigue with the Warrior fan base, is a P.J. Tucker type, because he wants out of Houston. It just seems like they're in a situation where they're going into some sort of rebuild mode. And this is what I found most fascinating about this entire report that came out yesterday. It was everything harked back to the Warriors beating them in the playoffs. Every single time it harked back to when they lost in the playoffs, there was a frustration when they missed 27 straight three-pointers. The Warriors, if anything, you know, losing in 2016 to the Cavs, okay, down 3-1, but also just dismantling a Rockets team, a very good Rockets team, by the way, a very good Rockets team that was historically good in terms of their offensive scoring numbers a couple of years ago. The Warriors broke them. That's what I found to be most interesting. That was my biggest takeaway from the article. Austin Rivers also expressing some frustration as well. James Harden shooting a free throw, and he apparently yelled at Austin Rivers in the locker room once. He blamed him because he missed a free throw since he heard Austin Rivers yelling. So he wants out too. There's just something. The report here clearly states that James Harden is going to be a part of this Rockets team going forward, and it's really all these other guys who want out. But my biggest takeaway was that the Warriors were the ones who caused all of this. Because if they just would have won, if they would have even went to the finals, then everything I think would be okay in Houston. But now it's looking like they're internally combusting. The Rockets are. 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line and the phone number. Coming up next, it is Mic'd Up Thursdays here on the pregame show. I like to highlight some of these NFL players mic'd up on the field. You might know them just from watching them on TV, but you never really know what they say on the field. And we got a few players here, and the whole point is to highlight some of these guys. And maybe, you know, you'll watch them in the next in this next Sunday. You'll see them on Red Zone or something. And you might actually like this player just based on their personality when they are on the field. 888-957-9570. Stephen Langford on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
Terminator X. 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line and the phone number if you want to weigh in at all. Good morning, everyone. Stephen Langford on the pregame show, leading you up until 6 o'clock when the morning roast will take you the rest of the way here from 6 to 10. Now we got Steiny Guru and Dibs and Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Gonna be a good day today. I can feel it. It's a good Thursday because it is a mic'd up Thursday. And Mic'd Up Thursdays on the pregame show, in case you are just getting into your car for the first time at 5:40 in the morning. Every Thursday I like to do this before the week sets off for the NFL. This is something I think that highlights different players and could change your perspective. Because I've watched these Mic'd Up videos for a very, very long time. And every single time there's always a player who I didn't know might have a personality who I saw and I said, wow, okay. Like, I might actually be interested in watching this guy from now on, or I might be looking at this guy in a different light whenever I see him on the football field, whenever I catch him on Red Zone, whenever I'm watching him. But we are going to highlight Kirk Cousins, obviously, Minnesota Vikings, Mike Vrabel, Tennessee head coach, Hayden Hurst, who is the second-year tight end for the Falcons, who I think is the most entertaining one of the day. And then we got the defensive line coach from the Arizona Cardinals, Brenston Buckner. And this guy was actually the D-line coach for the Raiders in 2019. And if you're a Raider fan, you'll recognize this guy from Hard Knocks. And listening to him just talk up his players on the sideline on this mic'd up from this week, pretty fascinating to hear. And then we, of course, got the pregame pump-ups, which we love to play in a montage. So let's start out with Mic'd Up Thursdays with Kirk Cousins. And I'm going to say, this is a reserved Kirk Cousins when he's mic'd up on the field. This is courtesy of the NFL Films.
Good start. Now you got to sustain and keep going.
Ready? Wait, stop.
Oh, boy.
Ow! Ow! Freaking A! My fault! Dang it! Dang it! Dang it!
It just, I don't know, it just feels like it's a big deal to not hit that one play. I know that in a 70-play game, one play is not a big deal, but it feels in the moment like you gift them something and give them a chance to get back in it. We need DMX to get us going again.
Now, that's the only stuff that I got from Kirk Cousins there. This is a very reserved Kirk Cousins. I found this interesting because when he was with Washington and whenever they'd mic him up there, and then when he first started out with the Vikings, he was crazy on the field. He really was. Whenever they scored a touchdown, he was going nuts, but this time he's more, I got to be honest, I'm respecting Kirk Cousins for the way that he's handling it, because he is clearly a quarterback right now who is not okay with the place that they were in. You know, one win last week, okay, that's fine. Dalvin Cook really got us there, but me, I got to be better. I'm not going to be going crazy on the field. He would have these weird celebrations where you'd watch it. You'd be like, whoa, Kirk Cousins, this dude's he's a different guy. I mean, he still says something, you know,
freaking A, my fault.
No problem with players who don't swear. That's fine. But it's also, it's weird to the ear whenever you hear these guys, whenever you hear them just actively not swear, considering how much you do hear it on the field. But that's Kirk Cousins in the first installment of Mic'd Up. Here is Mike Vrabel, Tennessee head coach. And this one is funny, I'd say. He's just not a very talkative guy on the sideline, at least according to this Mic'd Up segment.
Run!
Do not let up, Tart.
Go!
Do not let up, Daquan.
Oh, get on it!
Second down.
Yeah, second down.
Earmuffs, get on the ball!
Tell him!
That's you, Kenny!
Rush!
False start!
Delay! Grounding! Grounding! Grounding!
Thank you. That's good officiating. I appreciate that. I appreciate you guys just coming together and getting it right. Are you Greg?
Yeah.
I'm Mike.
Listen to this part, though, and I'll play the sound clip for you, and then I want you to picture in your head what I'm going to describe after I play the clip.
Second down.
Yeah, second down.
So he's just standing there with his arms crossed on the sideline, and the dude moving the chains is running right by him, and as he runs by him, the mic picks up him going, second down. And then slowly, Mike Vrabel just has a slow stare and just goes, yeah, yeah, second down. Now picture that again. When a chain guy is running in front of Mike Vrabel, and Vrabel gives him a slow stare and just goes, yeah, second down.
Second down.
Yeah, second down.
It was hysterical on video. I highly recommend you check that out. But Mike Vrabel is always very entertaining when it comes to these Mic'd Up segments. But here is one of my favorite ones. It's a young guy, a guy not many people know about, Hayden Hurst on the Atlanta Falcons. He was a first-round pick as a tight end, and I think he'll be very good in this league going forward. And the clip starts out with the guys giving the pregame high fives, and him saying his arms hurt.
Damn. Come on, man. Pull my shoulder out.
Let's go, Matt. All day. All day.
Ah! I wanted that one.
I like scoring touchdowns. That's cool, too.
I love that. And scoring touchdowns?
Touchdowns are tight.
Hey, let's go score!
It's hot. It's humid. It's not good for my hair. Brutal on the hair, man. Come on.
I love the A1. Stop bullying me.
Yeah, bro.
I love just balling with the boys, dude.
Balling with the boys. Battling.
There's nothing better.
Sure to do it, man.
Yeah. This is definitely what I signed up for.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go, my dogs.
We skipped out on all of the action that was going on, but dude was making contact. And he was putting some defenders in a blender. He was making one-handed catches. There was a guy that he stiff-armed, and that's when they all said he needs to stop bullying people. But the highlight is when he's just sitting on the bench with his other two tight ends, and he's just making conversation.
Touchdowns are tight. I love just balling with the boys, dude.
There's nothing better. It's what I signed up for. I like that Hayden Hurst energy. That's a new guy that I think you should be paying attention to on Mic'd Up Thursdays going forward. Understand that guy, he is enjoying football as he's playing at tight ends. They are a different breed, man. They're a different breed. On to the next clip. Now, this is Arizona Cardinals D-line coach Brenston Buckner. And if you're a Raider fan, you'll have recognized this guy. But I found this one to be the most underrated part of the Mic'd Up segment from yesterday, because Brenston Buckner is just trying to talk up his guys and just listening to them and how they talk. We see these dudes on the sideline. We see them all huddling in a crowd with one dude in the middle telling them what to do. But Brenston Buckner, he was giving some pretty motivational words here on the sideline to the Cardinals.
We sitting there being finessed with them. Bro, they just flew 5,000 miles playing in the sun. We got to get physical. Ball your fist up and fight. Don't make it. It ain't no finesse game. Ball your fist up and fight. Stop being scared and punch somebody in the damn mouth. It's easy once we get down and just go. But you got to elevate your mind to encompass everything that we seeing out there. Don't just line up and play caveman football. That's why we watch film. That's why we dissect it. Back here, they do this. Back here, they do that. Oh, both tight ends over here, they doing this. You know what I'm saying? Educate yourself, right? Knowledge ain't knowledge till it's applied. So if we watch it, you never use it, it's not knowledge no more.
There's not much better than that. When you're hearing a coach actually talking to his players during a game, you have Hard Knocks and you got All or Nothing on Amazon Prime, but they don't really show too much of what's going on the field. Just listening to the defensive line coach talk like that kind of gives you an idea and some insight into what these coaches are talking about. But, I mean, if you're a Raider fan and you're hearing that right now, that is what they are missing on the D-line, although they are good there on the coaching side of the defensive line. At least their D-line needs a little bit of work. But something else I do love about these are the pregame pump-ups. And as fans, let's just say you're a 49er fan and you're looking back on the game against the Jets. You're thinking, all right, the Jets got no chance. This could be a look-ahead game for the 49ers, blah, blah, blah. But when you hear these clips, it makes you think that, you know, for them, it's never a look-ahead game. When they say it's week-to-week, it doesn't matter which team is on the field. They're going to be playing that game. They're going to be playing that team the same and doing their preparation the same every single week. Listen to these pump-ups, though, and listen to the last one from whichever McCourty twin it was. I couldn't tell which one.
Hey, four-quarter dogfight, man. I like us. I like us a lot. Play for each other. Love you guys. Win on three, one, two, three.
Win!
But don't get it misunderstood. It's about us. How we can take care of the ball, how we can take away the ball, how we can execute, and how physical we can be.
Everybody want to be a dog until it's time to fight. Yeah, yeah. Ain't that right, Jerry?
Yeah.
Ain't that right?
Yes,
we finna do today.
We all we got on three. One, two, three.
We all we got.
Hey, yeah, man, it's time. Tonight's the night.
Uh-huh.
Man, we put it in. Every one of you, man, we put it in.
Yeah.
We sacrificed. Now it's time to go take it. Let's go, baby.
Yes,
we're on three, one, two, three.
Yeah.
Tonight we're on Monday Night Football. Everybody watching. My dog, dude, texted me tonight. He said, I missed the speeches. Could you tell me my auntie, my uncle, grandma, grandpa, mommy, daddy, little cousin, they all watching tonight. This is what we're doing, board. To shine tonight. Monday night. Legends aboard.
That's the Patriots against the Jets. A Monday Night Football. And that's how they're talking before the game. We always say as fans, oh, they're not taking this game too seriously. They're looking just ahead to the next week. But when you hear this before the game and seeing how they're all responding to Devin McCourty, I mean, they're playing the Jets and he's still going off like this.
Tonight we're on Monday Night Football. Everybody watching. My dog, dude, texted me tonight. He said, I missed the speeches. Could you tell me my auntie, my uncle, grandma, grandpa, mommy, daddy, little cousin, they all watching tonight. This is what we're doing, board. To shine tonight. Monday night. Legends aboard.
That'll do it for Mic'd Up Thursdays on the pregame show. We'll be back next Thursday with another Mic'd Up segment. Round of applause, even though I'm just here solo, giving myself a round of applause for that segment. But it's also funny. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's also funny, though, hearing those guys get pumped up and then Hayden Hurst on the sideline just like,
touchdowns are tight.
Yeah, I mean,
I love just balling with the boys, dude.
I love just balling with the boys, dude. After he just stiff-armed a guy into oblivion, he just goes to the sideline, sitting on the bench with his tight end buddies.
I love just balling with the boys, dude.
I'm just balling with the boys. I like that Hayden Hurst energy. We do have the 49ers and the Saints, and one of those guys you heard in the pregame pump-ups was Drew Brees' voice, who is just about as popular as anyone sitting in the middle of a scrum trying to pump him up before a game. But you are going up to face Drew Brees against the Saints. 888-957-9570. I think there is some intrigue to this game. However, the only thing would be that Raheem Mostert is not going to be playing against the Saints, unfortunately. I truly believe that Raheem Mostert is the type of difference maker on the field that not many people are talking about. And I understand the notion. I get it. I understand your point. Kyle Shanahan, he just needs three running backs in his system, and it works. And he's only using two right now, primarily Jamichael Hasty and Jerick McKinnon, two guys who are clearly not starting running backs. But that's the hand that he's dealt right now. And Raheem Mostert is their number one. And without Raheem Mostert, you're going to have to rely on the quarterback in Nick Mullins. And he was on with Damon Ratto and Kolsky yesterday, and he talked about facing Drew Brees and the Saints coming up this weekend.
It's impressive. I mean, that's guys you grew up watching. But I think the most impressive part is just his efficiency. You watch the tape. He knows when the big plays are there, and he knows when they aren't. And that comes with experience, and he does a great job of that. And that keeps his offense moving. And it's awesome to just watch what he's done over the course of his career. And, I mean, he's a legend, as we all know it.
And I think, though, that the guy to pay attention to in this game, Drew Brees is always getting the talks, but I think Kamara, he's been lights out this year. I think Kamara's been one of the most fun running backs to watch in the game. And I think he's the guy, if they're gonna beat anyone on this 49er defense, I think the guy who will do it is Alvin Kamara, because in pass coverage, I mean, they haven't been getting the pressure that they want, but take away that game against the Seahawks and, you know, that game against the Packers, too. If you had Jaquiski Tartt in the game, I think that things could have been a little different. Maybe you wouldn't have given up that deep ball to Valdes-Scantling, but the offense was so hurt, you didn't have much of a chance anyway. But I think the defense can do enough to at least slow down this Saints offense, and I've seen it happen. You've seen the Raiders do that. Now, obviously, they were without Michael Thomas at the time, so they're going to be a little they were a little shorthanded. But you have seen them get slowed down before, and Michael Thomas could take over, but Drew Brees just doesn't have the zip on that deep ball like he normally does, and that's how the 49ers got beat against the Packers, was because of what Aaron Rodgers was doing deep. And I'm not saying that the 49ers are going to win this game because of what the Saints did against the Buccaneers. You got to give them a ton of credit for that, and they're clearly going into this as a heavy favorite. And I don't want to make too much right now of the injury report, but it did come out from yesterday that Trent Taylor, Deebo Samuel, Kaywan Williams, and Tevin Coleman all were out, and then River Craycraft was a limited participant. So that's how it was looking at practice yesterday, but things could change. It's a day-to-day thing with the injuries. I do think this is going to be a big game for Brandon Ayuk, though. Brandon Ayuk, when he heard who was it, Joe Buck or Troy Aikman? I can't even remember which one, who was saying that Brandon Ayuk was supposed to get 85% of the targets. I believe it was Troy Aikman who was the one who said it. Then Ayuk tweets out a sad face, a crying emoji, when he heard 85. That's something I think he wants to bounce back from in this game if he's going to be the number one guy and Deebo Samuel can't go. But here's Nick Mullins yesterday on Damon Ratto and Golski talking about Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, he's solid. Brandon is a guy that is coming along strong. Love playing with him. He's got a great attitude, obviously very skilled, and he's getting better every week. And that's all you can ask for as a rookie receiver. And so I'm excited for this week, for the future, and everything that Brandon brings to the team.
I think the 49ers found something in this guy. You know, maybe it's not going to be highlighted this year because it seems like each week the season continues to slip away. They're still in it. They are still in it, regardless of what anybody says. We are heading into week 10. They're still in it record wise, but then as the weeks go on and they play this tough schedule up until Washington next month, then week by week we'll kind of be going what the future for this team is looking like. And I think that part of this future, it involves Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk as your number one and number two guys with George Kittle, and they will most likely pay Kyle Juszczyk. I don't see why they wouldn't. It's not like the fullback market has been reset ever since he got signed to the biggest fullback contract in history. But I do think Ayuk is a big part of the 49er future, and that's something you want to watch out for. That's what you got to do as a football fan. I think I don't need to tell you what to do, but I do suggest that if you're going to look for any sort of positives this season, I would say look for Brandon Ayuk's progression. I'd say that. I would say see if Trent Williams improves in the back half of this schedule at left tackle to see if he warrants a contract at all next year or if he has to walk away in free agency, because left tackle is a position that nobody is really talking about next year because he's a free agent. You got Jason Verrett, who Bill Barnwell thinks could be the comeback player of the year. Number one was for him was Alex Smith, who would deservedly win the award, but also still threw a ton of interceptions against the Giants there and lost the game eventually. But Jason Verrett's on his way to becoming a comeback player of the year. There could be plenty of pieces, just silver linings that you could look for in this season, even though playoffs are looking farther and farther away. Nick Mullins, though, and I think this is important, and this is something that you could be looking for next season, and you'll wonder how Jimmy Garoppolo would handle it if the 49ers do end up drafting a quarterback. But he talked on Damon Radwankowski yesterday about how Jimmy's role is playing when Nick is the starter.
Yeah, Jimmy's with us most of the time, and he does a great job of just anything that he sees, anything from experience that he feels will help me. He's always dropping knowledge, and that's a cool thing. Just be behind an experienced guy who has experienced a lot. We all help each other. We have a great room, me, CJ, Jimmy, and Josh that just got here. We all help each other, and that's all you can ask for in a QB room.
So, you know, it makes you wonder, is Jimmy going to be acting that same way? So just to recap a little bit of what we talked about today, that Gosman picking up the option or accepting the qualifying offer for the Giants next season. Look, when you got a pitcher, and I mentioned this at the top of the show, but if you have a pitcher, when you have a strikeout pitch and you know that it's going to be coming, I think that that makes a pitcher all the more exciting to watch. So when it's a two-strike count, he's ahead in the count. It's not going to be a 3-2 pitch, but he's ahead in the count. And you know that split change is coming. That is a lot of fun. And the Rockets, they're internally combusting right now. Who knows if they'll be even contenders in the Western Conference next season. And then shout out to Hayden Hurst.
Touchdowns are tight. I love just balling with the boys, dude.
And then, of course, Kirk Cousins.
Freaking A! My fault!
That's how it is, man.
Freaking A! My fault!
The Morning Roast coming up next. Kate Scott, Joe, the Butcher Boy, Shasky, and Bonte Hill. Thanks so much for joining me, everyone. I'll be back tomorrow at 5 a.m. 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.